Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
The government has recently announced the specifics of the shake-up of Auckland Transport. This follows the plan, which was announced first in December last year, to introduce new legislation that would strip Auckland Transport of a lot of the entity's power. The changes will result in Auckland Council overseeing major decisions regarding transport that will be split between the major 20 councillors and local boards. As well as this, a new Auckland Regional Transport Committee will be established that will include councillors, government appointees and an independent chair to work on a 30-year transportation plan. The bill is set to have its first reading next month and is expected to pass into law by March next year. For City Counselling this week, News and Editorial Director Joel spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about this topic.
Why are we seeing this shake-up of Auckland Transport?
For a long time, Aucklanders have been concerned that there wasn't enough democratic control and oversight of Auckland Transport, and the Mayor in particular, you know, ran on that at the last election and has negotiated with government to get through a law change. Because Auckland Transport was set up by law when Auckland Council was created back in 2010, then in order to return more democratic control of transport decision making in Auckland, there needed to be a law change to enable that to happen. So that's why it's happening and happening now. There was negotiation with the previous government, negotiation with this government, and finally the Mayor's got something over the line that now goes out to a select committee, we suspect, probably in the next couple of months.
Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson hopes this move will guarantee better trust in the city's public transport system. Will these changes be enough to guarantee this and develop a city with larger public transport usage?
I think it's going to be a little bit of a wait and see because, look, my experience, I was around at the start of Auckland Council and on a local board. My experience was that it took 3 or 4 years for the council system to really enable local boards to make a lot of the decisions that the law envisaged that they would be able to make. Over that time, we've also had more and more empowerment of local boards, so they've had been given more power, been given more resources and budget, but this is a really big step up, particularly for local boards. We've got people at the moment who are doing local board roles generally 20 to 24 hours a week. With the increased decision making that they'll have, that's going to be a big step up in terms of workflow, a big step up for those local boards in terms of the advice and support and staff they're going to need as well. And so I think it will take time, particularly at that really local level, and local boards are potentially going to have a lot of power when it comes to decision making for local roads. So I think the potential is there. There's some dare I say bumps on the road to go over yet in order to really realise that. But for public transport in particular, that will actually stay with a new CCO that will be responsible for the delivery of public transport. So how the decision making over that is going to work and how that's going to shift probably to the government body, the Mayor plus the councillors. We need to work that out. We've got time to work that out before transition. But I've got high hopes because I know that there's been times where Auckland Transport have made decisions that politicians have gone, hang on a second, that actually doesn't align with what we wanted and what Auckland has told us they wanted. So the potential there is huge.
This may be a bit too early to say, but how much will these changes guarantee Auckland Transport, especially touching on the city's public transport again, make it so that the city's public transport system becomes more reliable?
I mean, reliability and frequency are the sort of two key things that are the enablers of people using public transport more, right? They want to know that when they go to the bus stop or they go to the train station, it's going to be there on time, and ideally, if they do miss it, there's going to be another one along in sort of 5 or 10 minutes, right? So those are absolute priorities now, but I think that having political oversight of that in a way that we haven't had in the past is going to sharpen that even more. There's a discussion, for example, about the timetables for the City Rail Link, where at one point, as we moved towards that, it looked like Auckland Transport were actually looking to reduce frequency and there's been issues about reliability with KiwiRail. We haven't really, as politicians, been able to hold Auckland Transport or KiwiRail accountable for that. And in the new structure, we would have the accountability and I hope would have more power and control and be able to really make a difference. But it is all part of, you know, these systems have to build up over time. So you're not going to see a change, you know, day one that suddenly everything's magically fixed. It is going to take a lot of time and effort and investment. And we really need the community to give us a mandate and vote for people at this election who will support public transport investment, because we'll be making those decisions directly in a year's time.
And with these changes, what do you personally hope gets done to better Auckland's overall transport network?
One of the frustrations I've had this term has been how Auckland Transport haven't gone far enough on work that would reduce emissions, and they have stepped out of line, I feel, with projects that have had a high level of community support. I'm thinking about Point Chief to Westmere and the Great North Road safety improvements through Arch Hill, where they've been consulted on and had these huge levels of public support. You know, over 50 organisations supported the Great North Road one. AT still went back to, oh, we're not sure, we've got to put this on hold, we've got to check again, rah, rah, rah. And that delayed it, which meant it cost more. So there's things like this where basically they haven't had the sort of, I guess, fortitude of where politicians hopefully will, and once a vote is done, it's done, and we won't have this interminable going back and going, oh, but did they really mean that? You know, like on emissions reduction around, they've just decided that they're going to buy some diesel ferries when we've given them a very clear instruction that they shouldn't be going buying new diesel ferries, they should be buying electric ferries. We had an argument about that in committee last week with them. You know, those are things where they've had clear political direction, but they do their own thing anyway, and that's been incredibly frustrating. So for me, that I think is the thing I'm looking forward to, is there won't be that pushback, that slowing down of what actually has political and community support, because there's an inherent conservativeness in Auckland Transport as it stands.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on the major shake-up of Auckland Transport.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.